Would you open up to your Bible, your Word of God, to 2 Peter chapter 1. If you don't know where 2 Peter is, you can go 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. So if you're new to the Bible and the Scriptures, it might be easier to go way to the end and then work your way back. Again, 1st and 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. We're going to be in 2 Peter chapter 1 this morning. Working at a church, it's really interesting because you get to meet all kinds of people. And if you don't know this, I need to burst your bubble, or most of you are going to say, it's about time you realize this. I'm kind of quirky. And I always try to be the same person, but I try to speak differently to different people based upon who they are, where I'm at, who's around, and kind of the rhythm of the day. So Monday through Friday in the back offices is a lot different than Sunday because it takes a lot of people to make Sunday happen. Volunteers, like our worship team, our media booth, they're all volunteer. Part-time paid staff, full-time paid staff, they all work together to worship Jesus on Sunday. But sometimes throughout the week, you get visitors, and visitors are a blessing. Now, we have a very different age group of staff, and those staff, they have kids. Now, some of these kids, they come and they visit us. That, to me, is a blessing. Because you get baby Mia coming that belongs to Colby and Carissa, and she comes in with her cute little pigtails, and all of a sudden you're sitting there going, and the doctor of Jesus, hey Mia, how are you doing? How are you doing? And you start, and it's just, maybe it's just me. But everything changes when the little kids come. And then you've got Peter, who's no longer Peter, like baby Peter, but he's middle Peter now, and that's Pastor Adam and Tori's son. Now, I'm working on a really good relationship with Peter that I can speak truth into his life and that I can be his spiritual mentor. How can I do that? I feed him Swedish fish. So he's now starting to get into the rhythm of when he sees Tom, it's a pretty sweet deal. I don't know if he listens to me, but he likes what I have to offer him. So I take him by the hand and we walk into my office and he knows where the secret stash of Swedish fish are. So he loves to come and see Tom. Adam and Tori, not so much, but he likes to come and see Tom. She sent me a picture, by the way. I talked to him, and then I, of course, gave him goldfish or Swedish fish, and then she sends me a picture, and he's trying to break into my office to get more fish. That a boy, he's learning. And then you've got Peter's kids, and Peter's kids are a little bit older. And I've learned this about kids. You don't walk up to a fourth grader and say, oh, Josh, how are you doing? That's not what you do. I also learned from my own kids that when you have to say that you're hip and cool, you're not hip and cool. I'm just saying for a friend, all right? So anyway, so you lean into these different age groups. Then once you hit the teenage years, they still want the Swedish fish. I've learned that. But they are more interested in how's life going? How are those relationships going? How's driver's ed going? Did your parents buy you a car yet? Oh, they didn't? Come eat fish. It'll be okay. It'll come eventually. And so there's these different ways that you interact based upon the age group of these children, of these teens, and of adults. I mean, how many of you would be happy if I walked in and said, oh, Mark, you're here, how are you doing? And no, that wouldn't work. But oftentimes, when we're growing in our relationship with Christ, we need to hit those markers. We need to have those areas of growth, those areas of understanding as we grow to be men and women that follow after God. There needs to be this progression of maturity. Just as we mature as a child, from cute little baby Mia to her little pigtails, to the cool teenagers that want to talk about driving, to the adults that want to come in, and by the way, you still eat Swedish fish if I offered them to you. And we have this growth that happens physically. We should also have this growth that happens spiritually in our relationship with the Lord. As we look at 2 Peter chapter 1, we're looking to grow in God's grace. Now, last week, really quick, we looked at the foundation. The foundation or the cornerstone is our faith in Jesus Christ. We find that in 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 1. We must and have and need to stand on faith and faith alone. Once we start and stand on faith alone, verses 5-7, which is our memory verse, we need to grow in our knowledge of God's word. We need to grow in our self-control. We need to grow in our behavior and our attitude, our goodness and godliness. We need to be able to stand in perseverance as good times come and as hard times come. Those are the five inner qualities that we are working on. When we work on the inner qualities in verses 5-6, they manifest themselves in verse 7 in kindness, which is being kind to one another, showing brotherly love, and then showing and exercising sacrificial love, the love that Christ sacrificed for us. Now, once you go into that, you can lean into verse 12. This morning, I'm going to do something a little bit different, and I want to structure this message a little bit different. I want to offer us four steps to reading and understanding God's word based upon verses 12-21. Four steps that we can take to help us grow in our reading and understanding of God's word. You see, it's really interesting. We have this relationship, and I think of the relationship, all kidding aside, how I am building it with Peter. Peter didn't know me. Peter didn't understand what I was about and what I was doing and what I was trying to accomplish. Mia doesn't understand that yet. She is going to love my relationship with her. Her parents, we'll find out. But I'll give her everything her parents don't want. And so what I'm doing is I am building a relationship. And I build that relationship as they get to know me. Stranger danger. Stay away from people that are strange. As we lean into our relationship with God, we need to spend time with Him. So if you want to look at 2 Peter chapter 1, that got my numbers mixed up. You can look at the first one, the Bible needs to be read. If we want to grow in God's word, we need to spend time reading God's word. Let's look at what Peter says. He says, therefore, because of verses 1-7, because we have our faith, because we have our knowledge, our goodness, our godliness, our self-control, our perseverance, our mutual affection or brotherly love and sacrificial love, because we have all of that put together, therefore, I will always be ready to remind you. When you leave today, the greatest thing that you could say is, I didn't learn anything, but I was reminded. Because what I'm trying to do is I'm not trying to teach you anything new. Peter was not trying to teach the recipients of this letter anything new. What he was trying to do was remind them. And C.S. Lewis, the great author who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia and other great books, he wrote this quote, people need to be reminded more often than instructed. People need to be reminded more often than instructed. We need to be reminded. So Peter says, I will always be ready to remind you. Remind you of what? Remind you of the truths that you know. And how many of you forget things really quick? How many of you remember last week's message? Point taken. All right, so that landed really well. Second service, not so well this service. It's okay. I will always be ready to remind you. I want to remind you of these things. Remind you of the truths of God's word, even though you already know them. You know what I'm going to tell you. You know what you believe, but you need to be reminded. It's no different than the husband and the wife. They got married and they said, I love you. And I said, I love you. And they looked at each other and said, I'll let you know when that changes. And they never said they loved you again. Friends, this is not what we want to do. We want to look at God's word, and we want to continue to be reminded of the things that have already been known. Today's key word is remember or reminder. And they have been established in the truth. What is the truth? God's word is truth. John 17:17. Sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. And so Peter is bringing them back to God's word to remind them of what they know that is within them. Verse 13, he says, I consider it right, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, as long as I am here, as long as I have air in my lungs, I'm going to continue to stir you up. I'm going to continue to motivate you. I'm going to continue to encourage you. Do not forget. Do not forget the truths and the promises of God's word. A rhetorical question for you this morning. When you go through difficult times, you often forget the truths of God's word. You often forget when you go through the dark valleys, you begin to question and wonder. Peter is saying to the church, that's the early church that believes in Christ, do not forget what you know. I'm going to continue to motivate, stir up, encourage, influence, whatever that word is in your translation. I want you to be motivated so that you will remember. Remember, 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 remember. Remember what? Remember the truths that Peter has taught them. One commentator said it this way. He says, we forget what we ought to remember, and we remember what we ought to forget. That's true in my life. I forget anniversaries. I forget birthdays. I forget significant things. But yet, I remember the things that I should forget. And Peter is imploring and begging his people, do not forget the promises of God. But let me ask you this question. If we're supposed to forget what we ought to remember and remember what we ought to forget, if we're not spending time reading God's word, how are we going to remember anything? We need to remind ourselves by spending time with God and his word. Peter goes back in verse 14, knowing that the laying aside of my earthly dwelling is imminent. What does this mean? Peter is getting ready to pass away. He's getting ready to move on. This is his last will and testament. So this is the very last thing that he is writing, and he's leaning in because this is the most important thing. Out of all the energy it's taking before he is crucified, and tradition teaches us that he was crucified upside down because he did not feel worthy to be crucified the same way Christ was. So he knows that his death is coming. He knows that it's imminent, but he realizes, I have this to say. So he grabs his pen and he grabs his paper and he writes this down. Do not forget, because my time is quickly fading. Also, this word that I'm giving to you, it's not his account. This word that he's telling us, that he's writing down to the early church, it's not his opinion. Friends, this morning, you did not come here to hear Tom's broadcast of the latest sports team. That's what you get on other stations, on your TV. You didn't come here to get Tom's political viewpoint of what's going on in the world. You really don't care where I'm at politically. You get that throughout the week. What did you come to church for? You came to church to hear from God's word. And Peter leans in and says, my passing is so close, but what I have to tell you, it's not my opinion. This comes directly from Jesus himself. And each week, week in and week out, whether it's from the pulpit, whether it's from the small groups, whether it's from the Bible studies that happen throughout the week, our desire is that we teach and proclaim the word of God. Not personal opinion. So Peter takes it further. He says, and I know I also will be diligent that at any time after my departure, so when I'm gone, you will be able to call these things to mind. Peter is trying to equip his readers so that they will know the truth of God's word. That's what we're trying to do. I'm trying to teach you, and I'm trying to demonstrate how we do Bible study. Each week, I do the same thing. I don't know if you realize this or not, but I'm going to tell you one of my secrets. Every Monday morning, starting at whatever time I start, sometimes at 6, sometimes at 7, sometimes at 8, sometimes at 9, I start out with the 6 questions that I need to answer for a Sunday morning. You know what they are? Who, what, where, when, why, how. Who, what, where, when, why, how. Who, what, where, when, why, how. Each week, I bring in those 6 questions. Sometimes you realize them, sometimes you don't. Sometimes I slip in and I slip right out within one sentence. But each week I look at the scriptures for the week and I say, I need to understand who, what, where, when, why, how. Who, what, where, when, why, how. So that when you come to church, you are being demonstrated, or I'm demonstrating for you, how to study God's word. I don't want you to rely on me for your Bible study. I want to be able to equip you that you can go and you can read God's word by yourself. That doesn't mean you cannot come to church. I still want you to come. But it's an opportunity that you can be equipped, whether from the pulpit ministry, whether it's from one of the small groups that happen on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Monday night or Tuesday morning or Wednesday night or Wednesday morning. We want to equip you so that you know how to handle God's word, so that when you come to the Bible, you go, I don't know what to do. You ask the questions. Who, what, where, when, why, how. Who, what, where, when, why, how. Peter comes and says, I want to be diligent to remind you of what you know, so that when I'm not here, it doesn't all fall apart. He's equipped the people so that they can be able to study and know God's word. The first thing we need to do is we need to spend time reading God's word. You won't get to know God unless you spend time with God. The second thing we need to do is we need to read God's word naturally or within context. I'm going to teach you a principle that I do. It's called reading God's word with 20/20 vision. 20/20 vision is perfect vision, right? Okay, I'm going to tell you, 20/20 vision is perfect vision. All right, so we're going to read it with perfect vision. We're going to read the 20 verses before our text and the 20 verses after. We're going to read it with 20/20 vision. It helps us to know the context so that we don't go through God's word. You've seen people that go, I need to know God's will. So they close their eyes, they open up the Bible, and they point to it. Hey, may he kiss her with the kisses of his lips. I'm going to go apply that right now. That's what we do. That's not how we handle God's word. We read it with 20/20 vision. 20 verses before, 20 verses after, so that we understand it naturally, so that we can properly understand God's word. Peter tells this to his recipients, and he says it this way. He says, "For we did not follow cleverly devised tales." In the first century, when he was writing this, there were all kinds of myths out there and all kinds of different beliefs of how the world started. Almost no different than it is today. But Peter looks at them and says, listen, lean in. I did not come to you with cleverly devised tales. I didn't tell you long, long ago in a land far away there once lived. He says, I came to you. Not with tales, not with fables, when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord. I am here to tell you that this is truth. One thing I'm working on, and I'm not perfect, and I'm careful with how I share this. I try not to share Bible stories. This is just a me thing. I try not to share Bible stories. Because we have stories of Jack and the Beanstalk. We have stories of Cinderella. We have stories of all these made-up fables and characters. But when we come to God's word, hey, get out your Bible story. I understand, all right? I understand. But what I try to do is I try to say this is a biblical narrative. Because this isn't a story. This is truth. This is what happened. And Peter's leaning into his audience and he's saying, listen, I didn't come to you with all kinds of tales and all kinds of things that we did. I came to you and I made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And look what he says. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. I saw it firsthand. I was there. This is Peter. Peter of Peter, James, and John. This is Peter who had foot, knee, mouth, hip disease. Do you know what foot, knee, mouth, hip disease is? He puts his foot in, goes right past his knee, and he ends up with his hip. I have that problem all the time. Put my foot in my mouth, and I don't stop there. I just keep going all the way. Peter had the same problem. But he looks at it, he says, I was an eyewitness. I saw it with my own eyes. And I'm not here to tell you about a story. I'm here to tell you about the truth that I saw with my own eyes. And take it a step further, what you hold in your lap, whether it's in paper form, whether it's on your smartphone, is Peter's eyewitness account to the life of Christ. And it's not some story that's made up in a land far, far away in a galaxy long, long ago. There once lived something, someone, someplace. Peter says, I saw it. And it changed his life. And friends, if you allow it, it'll change your life as well. So he says, I didn't come to you with tales, I came to you with my eyewitness account. And for when Jesus received honor and glory from God the Father. How and when did Jesus receive the honor and glory from God the Father? You always allow the Bible to interpret the Bible. You get into commentaries, you get into seminary classes, you get into other preachers. They say allow Scripture to interpret Scripture. When you don't know what is going on, you start cross-referencing. Peter does this for us. Hey, what's he talking about? What glory and honor did Jesus receive from God the Father? Well, he tells us, such an utterance was this when he was made known to him by the majesty glory. This is my son with whom I'm well pleased. When did God say that? Matthew chapter 17, at the transfiguration of Jesus. When Jesus took Peter, James, and John, he went up to the mountain and he was transformed or transfigured, and those three guys saw Jesus as he truly was. And Peter says, wow, we got to do something. We got to build something. That's my kind of guy. We don't know what to say. Just start building something. We got to do something. Peter looks at him and says, I saw that. I was there. That was my eyewitness account. We heard this utterance made from heaven that God spoke. We were with him. This isn't a story about a guy that was down the road that thought he heard something. Peter's writing this going, I was there. I was there. And I saw it with my own eyes. And I saw the glory of Christ. And I just wonder, I don't know if any of you have had the privilege of having an eyewitness testimony, whether it was in the court or whether you were able to be quoted by the newspaper or if you were on the TV and they said and you said something and they, I'm going to say doctored things a little bit. And they took things out of context to make things say that you didn't say, but they wanted you to say it that way. Friends, that's what happens when we don't naturally read God's word. We take the eyewitness accounts and we look at it and we twist it to make it say what we want to say. Let's covenant, let's promise together that we're going to naturally read God's word. That we're going to continue to stand upon God and his word. We're going to read God's word. We're going to read it naturally, even the places that we don't like to read, that hurt, because we want to be changed. But as great as it is to read the Bible, the third thing is, you need to know the author. You need to know God's word. Now, some of you would say that needs to come first. I agree with you. But the flow of the passage didn't let me to make it till third. The first thing that you need to do, the most important thing you need to do, is you need to know the author. You read God's word and it doesn't make sense. People come to me and they say, I don't understand how you understand God's word, the Bible. You're one of those preacher people, aren't you? And I'm like, oh, this is going to be fun. I'll take this for a ride. I say, yes, I am. And they say, well, how do you know what to study? I don't understand the Bible. I said, that's a great question. I said, I will be vulnerable with you. I don't always understand what the Bible says. I said, but here's where I start. I make sure I know the author. Do you know the author? Well, it was written by man, they're dead, blah, blah, blah. No, it was written by God. Where are you at in your relationship with God? Oh, well, I gotta go. Oh, okay. Friends, you're not going to understand God's word unless you spend time and know the author. Do you know the Lord? Do you have that relationship with him? Look at what Peter says in verse 19. So he says, so we have this prophetic word made more sure. We have this Bible, the Old Testament, is God's promise that a Messiah is coming. The New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they tell us the Messiah is here. His name is Jesus. Then Acts through Jude tells us about the early church and how the word spread about the death, resurrection, and life of Christ. And then Revelation at the end of the Bible tells us Jesus come back and he's going to win. He wins. And so there's this prophetic part in the Old Testament. And one commentator I read, and I have, he says there were over 60 fulfilled prophecies of Christ from the New Testament. He stopped at 60. There are so many prophetic words that were made true by the life of Christ, to which you would do well to pay attention. Remember what you have been taught. Remember as you read God's word, how you grow in God's word, because people need to be reminded more often than instructed. But Peter writes and says, hey, you would do well to remember and pay attention because there's a lamp that's shining in a dark place. God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. I will hide your word in my heart that I might not sin against God, Psalm 119. Jesus is the light, John chapter 8. I am the light of the world. The world is a very dark place, spiritually speaking. And friends, the blessing is you hold in your lap the light. It's Jesus. And how do we know about Jesus? How do we know what Jesus would say? How do we know what Jesus would do? We read God's word. We spend time in God's word because we're living in a really dark place. Nothing hurts more than walking around in the darkness and you stub your toe because you didn't see something. We don't want to stumble in our walk with Christ as we're planted on faith. We want the light of Christ to shine in and through us as we continue to mature in our relationship with Christ. So there's light shining in the dark place until the dawn and the morning star arises. This is the relationship with God. It is really hard to know God's word if you don't know God himself. How do I know God? Have you spent time in his word? Are you taking time to read God's word? Well, I don't have time. Well, we live in 2022. What a blessing. There's this thing called the YouVersion Bible app, Bible Gateway, the Red Letter Bible, the Gideons have an electronic Bible, and guess what? It's free 99. You can download it for free, and it will read it to you. Sync it into your car. You can drive and hear God's word. If you don't have time to read God's word, listen to God's word. Understand who he is. Understand what he does. Understand what he did. You sang it today. Did you realize it? What a beautiful set that the team did. For God so loved the world that he gave. He gave his one and only son who sacrificed his blood for us. Glory to his name, so that we can stand on Christ who is the cornerstone. And now we're singing Word of God Speak. You see how it all weaves together so that we can continue to grow in our relationship with God. The fourth and final thing is, what do I need to do? We need to understand the Bible is God's spoken word in written form. This is God's word. God said it, and the authors wrote it down. Look at what Peter says, starting in verse 20. But know this first of all. So he's reminded them, hey, first things first, you gotta have the right footing. You gotta have faith. You gotta have knowledge, behavior, actions, attitude, self-control, perseverance. You gotta have kindness and love. But listen, first things first, if we're gonna build our life on God's word, we need to understand, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. You cannot take the Bible, well, you can, I would suggest you not do it. You could take the Bible and make it say what you wanna say. But that's not how we wanna roll. We want to be able to look at God's word and say, all right, let's read with 2020 vision, ask our six questions, who, what, where, when, why, how, and then I naturally come to the conclusion. Because I'm looking at God's word, and I know that nobody can, and I would say should, take and make it one's own interpretation. We don't want to do that. This is God's word. This is what he said. How would you feel if you said something and someone went and torted it and twisted it around? You wouldn't feel too happy about that, would you? I would submit to you, neither does God. So let's naturally read God's word, because we know that no prophecy of Scripture is open for others' interpretations, that I can make it say what I want to say. I want to be able to read it and understand it. I want to be able to know it and apply it. For no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will. Hey, yes, God used human writers, and this is where he fleshed it out. But men moved by the Holy Spirit. We have authors that wrote God's word. We have Peter, we have Paul, we have Matthew, we have John, we have the Old Testament. All those men were moved. If you want to write a cross reference, it would be 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is God breathed. And what the Greek word for this word moved means is, it's a picture of a sailboat. I'm not a sailor, but I've watched sailboats. That makes me almost as good as a sailboater. And I watch these sailboats, and they have their sail up, but they can't move unless there's breath or wind. So here comes God speaking his word, and the human authors are writing it down. This is what God wants us to say. And those interpretations are not open to whatever we want to say, because we know that no prophecy, this Bible, which is God's word, just didn't happen by accident. From beginning to end, it's one continuous story of a love redemption relationship. So no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men that were guided, or if you will, blown, and they could use their different personalities to have the different genres, but God is in control. He's the one that's providing the air that's moving them to where he wants to get them. But they were moved by the Holy Spirit who spoke from God. So the very Bible that you have in your lap, that's God's word. That is God's word. And how do you get to know God? By spending time in his word. What do we want to do? We want to read the Bible. We want to read the Bible, and it should be read naturally. That's what we're trying to do in our small groups, in our pulpit ministry, in our Bible studies. Help equip you to read God's word so that when you pick up your Bible, you know where to start. Who, what, where, when, why, how. Who, what, where, when, why, how. And we're going to read with 2020 vision. 20 verses before, 20 verses after. And we know that we can read the Bible, but there's going to be a disconnect until I have that relationship with God himself, because he is the author of the Bible. And I know that the Bible I have, it's not full of fables and fairy tales and, if you will, stories. It's God's narrative to us about men and women that are chasing after a God that loves them. He loves them so much that he gave his one and only son. What a privilege and a pleasure that we have. And as I close, I want to be vulnerable with you. Sometimes what happens is I look at this Bible and I lose the preciousness of it. I don't spend as much time with God as I should. Well, you're a pastor. Well, I'm human first. And sometimes I lose the preciousness of it. Friends, sometimes the busyness of the world creeps in. The busyness of a schedule creeps in. And sometimes what happens is that's okay, I'll get it later. I'll get it later. I'll get it later. And you know what? A week later, I still haven't gotten back to it. Don't allow yourself to get so busy in life that you forget to make sure your relationship with the Lord is strong as you spend time in his word. Don't allow the preciousness of God's word to be lost in the busyness of life.